First John chapter number 2, verse 27. If I got this mic on, Brother Richard, if I got this mic on, is it on? I didn't do anything to it. Let's start reading in verse 27. The Bible said, "But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him." Look at verse 28. "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence." Brother Larry, He's coming. One old preacher said, whether it's by way of the clouds or by way of the clods, I'm going to be with Jesus. One way or the other, I'm going. Amen. "When He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him." Pray with me a moment. Father, thank You tonight for the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for Your men scattered out all over the globe, faithful men. Thank You, God, for direction in the will of God. I pray, Lord, tonight that You'd stir our hearts as we look into the Scripture. I pray, Lord, tonight that You would help us to glean truth that would transform our lives and make us more like Your Son. Till one day, Lord, we're just like Your Son. Yet a little while, Lord, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Bless Your children tonight as we gather around the Word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's get started tonight and see what the Lord would say to us. Do we have teens gathered over here tonight? We do have some over there tonight. I want to be mindful of the time, but that's going to be hard to do in a way. But anyway, all I need is a show of hands to have the business meeting next Wednesday night. Can we have a show of hands? That'll help me. Okay, all right. Let's play a little while, see what happens. Amen. We said that John was writing in the beginning of the chapter concerning the Lord's children. And then John was writing, we were in this passage Sunday night, where he said in verse 18, "It is the last time you've heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists," those that denied the lordship of Jesus Christ, denied that He was the Son of God. Many people are willing to call Him a prophet or a priest or a good man, but He's so much more than all of that. He's God's darling Son. God incarnate came down in the flesh. Tonight I want to look for a while at the writing John is writing concerning the Lord's coming. I sat at the hospital yesterday and studied while Brother Mike was having surgery, and this is how the Lord led my heart. I want to look at, I think it's three kind of general areas, and then there's several areas under each one of those. But the first thing I want to look at tonight is the fact of His coming. The Bible said in verse number 27 here, "But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you. That same anointing teaches you all things." The Word of God said, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth." The Word of God said, "He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak." What I'm trying to tell you tonight, that even verse 27 goes with the coming of the Lord, because in verse number 27, this anointing leads us to the truth, and the Spirit of God will always lead us to the truth, and we're going to find in the truth the fact that Jesus is coming. When He had spoken these things in Acts chapter 1, while He beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. They stood there looking up into heaven steadfastly, and there was two men in white apparel which said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into the heaven?" I love this. This same Jesus, not another, that same one that you saw ride out of here on a cloud is coming again in a cloud of glory. He shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. I see the fact of his coming is seen in the Bible. Secondly, the fact is seen in the blessed hope. You say, "Preacher, how do you know he's coming?" Well, I've got a Bible that tells me he's coming. But I'm going to tell you something. You talk to God's people that are walking with God, and they'll tell you there's something right there that tells you he's coming. The Word of God tells us he's coming. The Bible said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. I love the Lord, don't you? And the Bible said, beloved, in this blessed hope, that it's a living hope. In other words, it's a lively hope. It's a hope that is living and well in the people of God. It's seen in the Bible, the fact of his coming. The fact of his coming is seen in the blessed hope. I'll tell you somewhere else it's seen. Seen in the bridegroom. Listen, the church is the bride of Christ. What did the bridegroom say? Here's what he said. How many is looking at world events and looking at our nation? Just watch a presidential debate once in a while and you'll see what a mess we're in. Amen? But I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Listen, the Word of God teaches that Jesus is coming. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." He said, "You believe in God, believe also in me." He said, "My Father's house are many mansions." He said, "If it were not so, I would have told you." He said, I'm going to leave here. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And he said, "If I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That is the blessed hope of a born-again believer. Christ promised, "If I go," did he go? Yes, he did. He said, "I will come again." No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Look at 2 Peter with me for just a moment. I feel like I need to read this passage of Scripture because I believe it's exactly what the Lord wants on this promise. It's seen in the blessed hope. It's seen in the Bible, but it's promised by the bridegroom. Look in 2 Peter chapter 3. Notice what the Bible said in verse number 1. "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets of the commandment of the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust." Now watch what the Word of God said. Beloved, listen, everybody don't believe Jesus is coming. If people really believe Jesus is coming, they get saved. And if God's people really believe Jesus is coming, they live for him. Amen. Amen. They'd look for him. They'd live for him. That's part of the message later on. Look in verse 4. "And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning." He said, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire." It's not going to be a flood the next time. It's going to be a fire. Watch now, the Bible tell us what kind of fire. "The day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." You say, "Preacher, how long's Jesus been gone?" Couple days. He ain't been gone long, and it ain't going to be long, and he'll be back. Amen. The Word of God said, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but his longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but it all should come to repentance." Stay with me. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Watch this now. Nevertheless, we, somebody tell me what it says, according to His promise. Glory to God. It's not a preacher that promised me. It's not a politician that promised me. But the Son of God promised me. He's coming again. And we can take His promise to the bank. According to His promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. The fact of His coming. Think about this tonight. The faithful at His coming. Go back to 1 John just a moment and chapter number 2. The Bible's talking about here people that are anointed. The Bible's talking about here people that are abiding. What's that mean? That means they're not in and out and up and down. They're walking with God. Enoch walked with God. Brother May said years ago, he said the Russians, the Americans have an astronaut. The Russians had a cosmonaut. He said God had a was not before they had either one. Amen. Enoch was, and he was not. Amen. God walking with Enoch one day, Enoch walking with God. And Brother May said, he believed God looked over at Enoch and said, you know, Enoch, it's closer to my house than it is yours. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I believe we're closer to the house than we've ever been. Amen. Jesus is coming. Look at the faithful. The Bible said, beloved, listen, in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. It talks about us being redeemed from iniquity, purifying a peculiar people, zealous of good works. There are people that are looking for Him. Hebrews 9:28. The faithful are looking for Him. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. How many believes God wants the faithful brethren to be looking up, because our redemption is drawing nigh. Amen. We're supposed to be looking for Him. Secondly, we're supposed to be living for Him. The Bible teaches that the faithful, not only looking for Jesus, but they're living for Him. In chapter 3, beloved, if you look at it here in verse number 2 and 3, look at the last verse, in verse 29 of chapter 2. If you know that He is righteous, how many knows that? Then you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. Beloved, let me say this to you tonight. You can have something that looks like righteousness, but the only real righteousness can come through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Pharisees might have looked righteous at times, but God's not talking about that put-on righteousness. He's talking about that righteousness He put in. He put on the inside of us. Amen. And the Word of God said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. The key verse here, I said the faithful are living for Him. The Bible said every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Amen. There's not a man, not a woman in this building that can stand and say that you don't make a mistake, or that you don't ever sin. But I'm telling you, beloved, I believe those that are faithful are looking for Him. They don't enjoy sin. It breaks their heart when they sin, and they want to repent of their sin, because they lose joy and they lose fellowship with God. Amen. Oh, beloved, the faithful are living for Him. Let me give you this. The faithful are leaning on Him. I don't know about you, but it's more than a song. Lean on me. Learning to lean. Learning to lean. Learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I've ever seen. Learning to lean on Jesus. Another songwriter said, leaning on the everlasting arms. I had somebody say one time, said, you Christians just use God as a crutch. I said, honey, He's more than a crutch. He's a wheelbarrow. He's carrying this mess. Say amen. I'm leaning on Him. He's the one taking care of me. Amen. Praise God. You see, the Bible said to abide, looking unto Jesus. Remember Jesus in the upper room? John's writing here. Where was John? Where was John? Leaning on his breast. I'm going to tell you, beloved, there's not a man in the Word of God, I believe, it knows the heartbeat of God any better than John does. John won't even call his own name when he refers to himself. He'll say that other disciple. He'll say that disciple whom Jesus loved. I'll tell you, most people in this generation, they would say, if they were speaking of themselves, they'd say that disciple that loved Jesus. That ain't what he said. He said that disciple that Jesus loved. That other disciple. I'll tell you something right now, beloved. I believe God wants the faithful to lean on him. Give you three things tonight. Two of them's done. The fact of his coming. The faithful at his coming. This is sad tonight, but I want you to see the foolish at his coming. Notice what the Word of God said here. Little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not stand ashamed, not be ashamed before him at his coming. There's two kinds of fools, I believe, when he comes. Just basically speaking. Number one is that fool that missed the opportunity in salvation. That fool that hardened their heart. That fool that rejected Christ. The Word of God said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils. In thy name done many marvelous works. He will profess unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. I guess one of my greatest fears in life is that somebody will think being a good Baptist will get them to heaven. Or getting dipped in a water hole will get them to heaven. Or putting money in an offering plate will get them to heaven. Or just not cussing anymore will get them to heaven. Being a good man or a good woman will get them to heaven. Beloved, I tell you, there's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man, not one, cometh unto the Father but by me. You must be born again. It's not an option. It's an absolute necessity. Those who miss the opportunity in salvation. Coulter, the Bible said there, I think it was Felix in Acts 24, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and he heard him concerning the faith in Christ. As he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come, Felix trembled and he answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. There's a lot of people putting it off tonight. The Bible said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you know not what another day may bring forth. Never in the Word of God do you find where Felix got right with God. I'm of the persuasion, I don't know this for a fact, I'm of the persuasion that he didn't get right with God. Let me show you what I mean. Watch what the Bible said. In verse 26, he hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul. That money's got a lot of people in trouble. He got his eyes off of what money can't buy, salvation by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus, and got his eyes on a dollar bill that he might lose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener. He sent for Paul more often, hoping that Paul might give him some money. How sickening tonight when he had the door to heaven being presented to him, the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember, beloved, over there, Agrippa. Agrippa said, almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. Paul said, I would to God that you weren't almost, but altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Beloved, almost won't get it done. Almost persuaded to be a Christian is altogether lost for all eternity. Beloved, tonight we see the faithful at his coming. We see the foolish at his coming. Let me give you this in closing. Not only those who miss the opportunity in salvation. I think this fits perfect with the service tonight, Brother Larry. This young man, God's got his hand on him. But those who miss the opportunity in service. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Do you all know that God's people are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ one day after a while and give an account of the deeds done in their body? Beloved, they're going to give an account of their service. The Bible said some of it, when it passes through the fire, is going to be like wood, hay, and stubble. I always try to teach this because I think it's important. It's possible to do the right thing for the wrong reason. But on that day, if we're doing the right thing for the wrong reason, it'll burn up. But it's also possible to do the right thing for the right reason. Beloved, you know what the reason ought to be? We love Him. You say, preacher, I thought you preached. I thought Brother Cole was going to go to prison because he loves sinners. Listen to me. He loves sinners because he loves the Savior. It all boils down from that. Well, I thought he was going to go preach because he loves the Bible, because he loves the Scripture. He loves the Scripture because he loves the Savior. Now watch this. Lest you think we're boasting. He loves the saints because he loves the Savior. He loves the sinner because he loves the Savior. He loves the book because he loves the Savior. But he loves the Savior because the Savior first loved him. You say, preacher, why are you so diligent to tell us that? Because that way he gets all the glory. John had it right. It ain't time for us to brag about how much we love him. It's time for us to brag how much he loved us. That's what the world needs to know. How much he loves them. Service. Other foundation can no man lay than that's laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, and precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. That day's going to declare it, friend. I'm telling you, beloved. Brother Grizzle said to me, Brother Houston, I hadn't been here long. He said, preacher, he's coming. And he said, I'm going to stand before him. And he said, I ain't looking forward to it. I'll just say this to us tonight. If a man, Brother Grizzle's character, he wasn't just saying words, Brother Wayne, when he said that. Every one of us ought to fear. Amen. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, John saw him in the Revelation chapter number 1, and he fell at his feet like a dead man. People talk about, I'm going to tell him this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Hogwash. In the Greek, that's hogwash. Ain't going to work. Even some of the songwriters, and I'm not fussing, they talk about being face to face. And perhaps we will be. But I believe we'll be face to feet first. When Mary worshipped him, she was down there low, round his feet. I like that song it said just to thank him for what he's done. Just to bow at the feet. I think it was over there in the Minor Prophets. Zechariah, one of those books, I can't remember for sure which one, but oh goodness, it said, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. Well, if they're looking upon him whom they've pierced, I believe there'll be those marks will still be in his feet as well. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't know why we're going to praise him for all eternity. Shoo, you just wait. Wait till you see the place he's prepared for you. Wait till you see the body he's got waiting on you. Amen. It's not a vile body. It's a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. What a blessing it's going to be. Let me give you this and I'm done. talking about service, those who miss the opportunity in service. Franklin Roosevelt's closest advisor during much of his presidency was a man named Harry Hopkins. During World War II, when his influence with Roosevelt was at its peak, Hopkins held no official cabinet position. Moreover, Hopkins' closeness to Roosevelt caused many to regard him as a shadowy, sinister figure. As a result, he was a major political liability to the president. A political foe once asked Roosevelt, "Why do you keep Hopkins so close to you? You surely realize that people distrust him and resent his influence." Roosevelt replied, "Someday you may well be sitting here where I am now as President of the United States. And when you are, you'll be looking at the door over there and knowing that practically everybody who walks through it wants something out of you. You'll learn what a lonely job this is. And you'll discover the need for somebody like Harry Hopkins, who asks for nothing except to serve you." Winston Churchill rated Hopkins as one of the half dozen most powerful men in the world in the early 1940s, and the sole source of Hopkins' power was his willingness to serve. I need to say it again. The greatest preachers are servants. The greatest deacons are servants. The greatest Christians are servants. My life verse, 2 Corinthians 4:5, we preach not ourselves. Let me tell you something about somebody's preaching themselves. That makes God sick, and it makes God's people sick. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant, for Jesus' sake. The happiest people in life are those that are not living for themselves, but are living for others. In 1878, when William Booth's Salvation Army was beginning to make its mark, men and women from all over the world, they began to enlist. One man who had once dreamed of becoming a bishop, he crossed the Atlantic from America to England to enlist. Please listen to this tonight. Samuel Bringle left a fine pastorate to join Booth's Salvation Army. But at first, General Booth accepted his services reluctantly and grudgingly. Booth said to Bringle, "You've been your own boss too long." And in order to instill humility in Bringle, he set him to work cleaning the boots of the other trainees. You can imagine this in the state police force, Brother Larry. Discouraged, Bringle said to himself, "Have I followed my own fancy across the Atlantic in order to black boots?" And then, as in a vision, he saw Jesus bending over the feet of those rough, unlettered fishermen. And the Lord whispered, he whispered to the Lord, "You wash their feet, I'll black their boots." Oh, beloved friend, all of God's youngins need to find a place somewhere, somehow, to be a servant of the Most High God. He said, "Preacher, I'm not going to serve it, but let me give you a little word of advice, scripture. You'll be ashamed before him at his coming." Those who refuse to serve the Master, "Why call you me Lord, Lord," Jesus said, "and do not the things which I say?" Those who are saved by the grace of God and not surrendered to the will of God will stand before him ashamed at his coming. But those who say, "Lord, I don't belong to myself. You bought me with a price. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll marry who you want me to marry. That's not being talked about anymore. Amen. I've told the young ladies for years, they talk about them hunks. You better look under the hood. It might be a hunk of junk. Amen. Better make sure there's something running for God right there. Amen. Heartbeat for the Lord. So much today. God wants us to be not ashamed, but standing for Him with confidence. Lord, I was looking for You. Lord, I was living for You. Lord, I was leaning on You. Because you won't serve Him long until you understand how much you need to lean on Him. I'm just glad you come tonight. Went a little bit overtime tonight. But by the grace of God, we got finished. We actually had lots of scriptures on being ashamed and lots of scriptures on confidence, but that's okay. You get the point. When we look up, see Him coming. Make sure you're saved. Make sure you're surrendered. Make sure you're abiding in Him. Walk with Him every day. You'll be able to say, Lord, I was looking for You. John, he writes the Revelation. I'm done. In chapter 1, Brother Larry, he sees Christ, the glorified, risen Savior. In chapter 2 and chapter 3, he sees the church that Jesus purchased with His own blood. In chapter 4, verse 1, the church is called out. Come up hither. And she's not mentioned again until chapter 19 when you have her at the marriage of the Lamb. And then in chapter 4, chapter 6 it begins, I believe it is, yes, you see the judgments that's coming, the great tribulation that's coming. Chapter 20, you see the great white throne judgment where the dead, both small and great, stand before God. Those who are not saved, they're cast into the lake of fire. In chapter 21, you see the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. That's where He tells us there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. God's going to come around and wipe all the tears away from our eyes. He tells us about the city 1,500 miles out away and that away and that away. Walls of jasper and gates of pearl and streets of transparent gold. I'm going somewhere. When you get done with all of it, John said, let me just tell y'all something. Best thing that could ever happen. He said, even so come, Lord Jesus. He had seen Him. He had seen it all. And he said, the best thing that could happen, even so come, Lord Jesus. That ought to be our prayer tonight. Help us to be found faithful. I'm just glad you come tonight. Thank you for coming. Father, thank you for this wonderful prayer meeting crowd. More than anything, Lord, thank you for the liberty in the Holy Spirit tonight. Lord, I thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that you're our Savior. You're our soon coming King. Help us to love one another, Lord, with a pure heart, fervently. Help us to love you and serve you till you come. I pray, Lord, you'd keep your hand on our church. I'm well aware, our Lord, that we have more than one enemy. Lord, I'm also well aware that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Lord, we can't lean on ourselves tonight, but we lean on you. ask you to continue to do a work in our midst. That man that's been attending the last three Sundays, Lord, that don't know you, God, I pray you speak to his heart. That young man, Lord, that I've known ever since I've been here. Oh, God, I pray you'd speak to his heart. Help him, Lord, to come to know you. Lord, on any given Sunday, we don't know who's in our midst that needs a touch from heaven. Touch us, I pray, in Jesus' name.